Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome to another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We've got a great episode in store, and we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to let most of the questions come from Slant subscribers. We're going to talk a lot of football and get into a few basketball topics since it's the offseason. We're going to have one of the nation's top college football experts and a good friend of the show, Phil Steele, joins us as a guest. And believe me, you do not want to miss his Kirby's interview with the man on college football. Let's go ahead and start by bringing in our man on the basketball beat, Shay Wildebor. Shay, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. Just excited for a little trip, catching a plane to New York City tomorrow morning. My first trip out east, meeting my wife out there. It's going to be a good time. She's actually already out there for business, so we're going to have a little fun staying in Manhattan, and I'm super excited about it. So,
dude, that sounds good. Yeah, I went to I took Kemper down to St. Joe today and got a little training camp in, and I think I'm ready for football. You know, he's had the last 2 days. He's had two, or they call it boot camp, up at 5:30, getting ready for the season. And so it was good to get out today and see a little of the boys. And yeah, I think I'm getting ready for football.
That's awesome.
It's getting to be that time, right?
It is, man. I am so ready. So ready. And speaking of football, let's go ahead and bring in our man on the Kansas football beat and Jayhawk Slant publisher, Mr. John Kirby. Kirby, you heard us talking about football. Your ears had to be perking up.
You know, when I know it's football season, guys, and I'm not kidding you, it's like this every year. Now my boys are older, right? So they're one's going to KU and one's going to be a senior. But I start to hear, I was out on the street the other night in the cul-de-sac, and I'm starting to hear all the younger parents with younger kids all start talking about school getting ready to start on Thursday in Olathe, and then everybody else goes to school on Friday. I always know it's football when everybody starts talking about going back to school. You know, that's when you're like, okay, we are now deep into this thing, because once the kids go back to school, high school football started in Missouri. It's going to start in Kansas next week. It's like, it's on. The football is on. It's like officially here.
Oh yeah. I'm right there with you. I was so excited on Monday morning when practice started here on the Missouri side of the state line, and Kansas, like you say, starts next Monday. And some people think it's strange if you follow high school football. I have always been passionate about high school football, following the best teams in both states since I was, freshman or sophomore in high school myself. So I love it. I can't wait. It'll be another, this will be my 10th year of covering high school football on Sports Radio 810 and with 810 Varsity. So, you know, I'm fired up about it.
Let's go.
And
high school football time.
Shay, you said let's go. You know what? I'm going to start with you. The Jayhawks landed a big commitment for the men's basketball program. Bill Self has to be ecstatic about this one. Shay, tell everybody about the player and you know, you've talked to him. Give us your thoughts on just what this commitment means for this program.
Yeah, it's, you know, Randy, it's always good. You know, Kansas fans have been, and I say this seriously, they have been taken for some rides on the recruiting trail. I can go back to, Caleb Tarzewski, and I'm trying to remember the kid's name out in Detroit many moons ago. It escapes me, and I'll think about it in a little bit. But I mean,
I always think about the kid that committed to Oregon over Kansas.
That's it. Who was that? That's who I'm trying.
Was it Malik Newman?
No. But it was Malik something.
Harrison.
I'll have to go back.
Malik Harrison. There you go, John.
Harrison,
Thank you.
Yeah. That's it. Malik Harrison.
You guys got to bring in the football guy to get all the basketball stuff going.
Malik, hey, let me tell you something, you guys. Malik was good to the slant. Let me say that.
Yes, he was. Man, there was I will never forget. Somebody asked, one of the questions we're going to talk about later is, you know, top 5 days on the slant. That was a day I seriously thought the natives were going to burn it down.
Yeah. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, and on and on. But the thing about Chris and guys like Chris, and maybe even like Grady Dick, or, you know, you get them on campus for the first visit, and it's the only visit they take. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, listen, and if you're 16, 17, 18, however old you are, you've got access to 5 official visits. You can go anywhere you want across the United States, free trips, food, and all those other things that go on behind the scenes. I mean, that's tempting. But, you know, the thing about Chris, you know, 6'6", 190 pounds, he's going to spend the year at Montverde Academy, originally from Texas. You know, the thing about him is he knew what he wanted. The minute he stepped on campus a few Mondays ago, he was sold. His dad was sold. Mom was sold. I mean, and it's good. This is a guy that I'm guessing is going to jump up, make a big jump in the rankings. Can score at all 3 levels. I mean, you know, he can handle the ball. You can play off the ball. You know, in KU's, KU self systems, everything's interchangeable. So he can, he's big enough to where he can go and post up a 4-man and, do all those things. So it's a huge start. You don't have, and the one thing that Chris said that made a lot of sense that I've been thinking about too. You know, this is right now a really young Kansas team. I mean, you got guys that, you know, freshmen, you've got a red shirt, you've got some younger guys, and I don't know how many really high school kids they're going to take. Obviously, they got Chris Johnson. You know, they love Mikey Williams, the 5-star point guard from out in San Diego. You know, they love the big man Dennis Evans, another 5-star kid from out in Riverside, California. I know those are 2 guys they really like. You know, I expect them to hit the portal, but anytime you can start off with a really talented kid that's going to spend the year starring for a Mount Verd team that's as good as any in high school, it's a huge start. You know, no level stress, no drama, no nothing. Hey, I'm going to do it this time. I love what I saw, and I'm ready to end it. So, yeah, it's a big deal, especially when I'm not sure how many high school kids KU is going to take this year. You know, they need to strike on the guys they really want, and they started off doing that.
You talk about how many guys they could take and hitting on the guys that they really want. What else is really bubbling out there on the trail right now? Is there anything with recruiting? Obviously, I mean, commitment date is still a ways off, but the Kansas fans should be watching right now.
Well, I mean, I'm always going to watch Mikey Williams, the 6'1" point guard from out in San Diego, California, 19th ranked player in the class. Only school he's visited is Kansas. And here's the thing, you guys. I mean, the only person that knows what Mikey's doing is Mikey and his dad and family. I mean, nobody knows. So he could have 4 visits set up and nobody would know. But as of right now, from everything I've gathered, he hasn't scheduled any additional visits. Will he? Yeah, probably. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, this is a kid that's got millions of social media followers. I mean, he's a guy that everybody knows about. High profile, you know, he's everybody knows Mikey. So I can't imagine that he's going to take 1 visit and shut it down. But I think Kansas is, at this point, has put themselves in about as good a position as you can. You know, another guy, Dennis Evans, I mentioned, number 11th ranked player in the class, 7'1", 7'2", 210. He's scheduled to attend Kansas for late night. You know, Minnesota and TCU are the other schools that are heavily involved. Not a lot of blue bloods. Obviously, Curtis Townsend has done a really good job recruiting both of these kids. And, you know, I said on the board earlier today, I mean, there might be kids that come up down the line. I mean, a lot of it depends on what happens at the end of this year. I mean, you know that Jalen Wilson's probably going to leave. You know that Cam Martin's going to leave. And you know that Kevin McCullough is going to leave. So that's 3 spots right there. But what's going to happen with Grady Dick? You know, is he going to have a big year? Is MJ Rice going to have a big year, or is, you know, was someone going to ultimately just kind of make the decision to move on and look elsewhere? So it's tough to say right now, you know, how many spots they're going to have, because you don't know what's going to happen. But I do feel good about Mikey, you know, being at the top of that priority list, as well as Dennis. And then my guess is that either maybe some high school kids or kids that we just haven't heard about yet emerge late. And obviously, I mean, they're going to attack the portal. That's a thing where you can go out and grab a kid who has a ton of experience, who's done it at the high major level, or, you know, the high to mid-major level and had success. And, you know, there's not necessarily going to be that jump or that gap that you need to take. So, yeah, I think those 2 guys, and then, you know, see what happens in the portal.
All right, Shay, it's the off season. So I've got some questions that have come from subscribers over on the Allen Fieldhouse suite. Just going to kind of go through these rapid fire. So don't feel like you got to think too long. Just give me the first thing that pops in your head with these. All right, so John Douglas has asked, do the players have individualized off-season training programs for skill development? That's a really good question. And asks, are Jalen, DeJuan, and McCullough getting 1,000 three-point shots up a day this offseason?
I don't know about 1,000, but no, they do. Here's the thing. Like a couple Fridays ago, I went up to Brett Ballard's camp in Eudora, and mm-hmm. Kevin was working there, and they talked about how like they're doing a lot of like team bonding. Like a lot of these guys have never been through this. I mean, you've got freshmen, you've got guys that have redshirted, and so they're doing a lot of bonding things. But yeah, Kevin told me that they're individually they're in the gym putting up. I think he said between 3 and 350 shots, or 3 to 350 makes. And you know, getting up in the gym and putting up shots and doing all those things. So team-wise, they do stuff, bonding stuff, team drills and all those things. And then individually as well, they're always working, whether it be on the thing that I love about DeJuan is, I don't know if you guys have noticed this. I'm sure you have. Like when he wants to drive to the basket, he does that kind of up and under scoop. That's not mm-hmm. something that he just does. I mean, that takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of hours. You got to perfect that. You've got to be able to score through contact. You got to be able to know where the defender is, where his hands is, in ball placement, and all those things. So, yeah, those guys are always, always, always in the gym working. And I know Kevin's a guy that kind of suffered not a serious injury, but kind of a little injury at the NBA tryout or the camp, had to pull out. And so, yeah, he's a guy that's been in the gym nonstop since he's been at Kansas, and that would be the case for all the guys. Zach Clemens. And I know Cam Martin have been doing things. I know Grady's been in the gym putting up hundreds and hundreds of shots. And I mean, it goes on and on. It's something from the best player on the team to the, you know, the walk-ons. I mean, they do individual things and team things as well.
All right, Shay, you went all the way down the roster. I'm going to cut you off if you go that long again. We got to go fast.
Next okay, fast, thing, fast.
Jeffro Spin asks, when conference play rolls around, God, that seems like forever away, which scholarship players will not be seeing rotational minutes? Okay, crystal ball on that one. Until Bill decides to go 10 deep, will there always be a couple guys left out? That's a good question.
Okay, here's what I'll say. Right now, I'll just say that I think the guys right now, obviously you're going to see DeJuan Harris is going to play. Grady Dick's going to play. Jalen Wilson's going to play. MJ Rice. Kevin McCullough. I think Zach Clements. You know, Ernest Uday. You know, KJ Adams. You know, I don't really, you guys, I mean, could Zubi Ejiofor be a redshirt guy? You know, based on what I saw at the camp, I mean, he came in and dominated the day he was here. You know, how much run is Cam Martin going to get? You know, Bobby Pettiford, who was injured last year, how much run is he going to get? And Kyle Cuff, I think there's a solid group of guys that you can pencil in, and then other guys are going to have to fight it out. I think a lot of it could depend on matchups, foul trouble, and all those things. I mean, it just depends on, you know, time, score, momentum.
Okay, perfect transition to the next question. Leewood Hawk asks, who's going to be your starting five right okay. now? Who is your starting five?
DeJuan Harris. I'm going to go with, obviously, Jalen Wilson, obviously. Kevin McCullough, obviously. I'm going to throw in Grady Dick. You know, Grady Dick and MJ. Right now, I'm just going to say Grady. And then the fifth, I'm going to give the nod to Zach Clements over Ernest Uday. You know, whether that changes at conference play or not, I just think, you know, Zach's got a year under his belt. You know, I just like the length that Grady provides, you know, the length and the size and the athleticism. So those are the five I'll go with.
Okay. Piggybacking on that one, last question from Leewood. What are realistic expectations? When have Kansas fans ever been realistic? But what would realistic expectations be for this team?
Listen, here's the thing, you guys. As long as Bill Self is coaching this team, I think they have a shot. I mean, are they going to – you saw last year, I mean, there were games where had this gone right or this gone wrong, and they're not national champions. So I think, like in football, it's a game of inches. Mm-hmm. You know, can you execute down the stretch? How long will it take for this team to bond? I mean, last year's team, those guys were together a while. You know, you got DeJuan Harris that's coming back as a starter, and you've got Jalen Wilson that's coming back as a starter. And that's it. I mean, all those other guys are gone. Now, Joseph Yesufu, and I didn't mean to count him out, has played some. You know, Bobby Pettiford played early on before shutting him down. You know, Zach played some. KJ Adams played some. Cam Martin redshirted. I mean, it's going to take time to and blend. And here's the thing. Off the bat, I mean, you're going to be playing Duke. You got Kentucky. You're going over, you know, Indiana's coming. So, I mean,
we know that Self doesn't really put too much stock on those first several games.
No. If they're ready by Big 12 play and continue to improve,
you'll be perfectly happy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think Duke brought in a stud. I mean, but when was the last time a team that was dominated by all freshmen and five stars won it? I mean, right now I would take coaching over all of that. And I think when you've got the combination of the guys coming back, You throw in a Kevin McCullough who's experienced, and then the guys they've got coming in for the first time. I mean, it's – dude, they just won a national championship. They could okay, go 0-12. I mean, but no, they're going to be competitive, and they're going to be there'll be a top five, top seven, top ten team. I just think, you know, can you win on the road, or can you hold serve at home and win on the road and, you know, sneak some of those early conference?
It's the same questions every year. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is why, I mean, why do you, it's like on recruiting, people panic. Why?
True.
I mean, why? What's his lowest seed Bills, Coach Self has been a four seed?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, dude. I mean, okay, like, so, there's going to be ups and downs. I mean, they're going to lose some games, I imagine. I mean, you just can't replace Remy Martin and Ochai Agbaji, Mitch Lightfoot, Jalen Coleman Lands, David McCormick. I mean, those are dudes you got to replace. So it's the last thing that it's not even something I'm even worried about. If I was, I'd tell you, but I don't think there's anything to worry about. I think it'll.
Shay, moving on.
Okay.
Florida Jayhawk wants to know how long do you expect to see KJ Rice and Grady Dick in Kansas jerseys?
MJ Rice?
Worded however you want, just since both have high NBA potential.
Okay, they won't graduate from Kansas in the allotted time.
Okay. Next question. One or two guys not many people are talking about who could surprise and see the floor more than expected. One or two.
I mean, Joseph Yesufu, who's got the athleticism. I mean, last year he thought too much and didn't play the way he can play.
Do you think was that an adjustment year really more than
absolutely
anything for him?
He was thinking. He was thinking. He wasn't playing. And Randy, when you know, like if you know, and this isn't a knock on this coaching staff or anybody, you're in a business to win. But as a player, when you know if you make one false move, you might have to look over your shoulder to see who's coming off the bench to replace you. That's tough.
True.
I mean,
you're absolutely right.
That's a lot. So one mistake and you're thinking, well, if I make this mistake instead of just playing. So I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. And the thing about it that's great is he stuck it out. He could have gone, but he didn't. I think he feels like he has something to prove.
Building off of that, Chevelle 84 asks a great question. You've already said who you think their starting five are going to be. Who are going to be the top three coming off the bench? Is Yesufu in that group?
Oh, man.
See, okay, tough question.
It'll be either Grady Dick or MJ Rice. The one who doesn't start is going to play starter like minutes. I mean, I got to believe Ernest is going to play. I mean, they brought him here to play. I mean, he's a guy that can block shots and rebound and then I guess Joseph. I mean, yeah, you guys, I don't know what's going to happen with Cam Martin. I don't. I don't know how well his game translates to this level. I don't. And then Zuby, too. I mean, everywhere you look, this team is stacked at that four or five spot.
Okay.
I mean, they're just stacked.
And moving forward, this is a great – now even – this gets even thicker now. Plot thickens even further. Knee-jerk ask. Talking about, you know, you talk about the new players arriving, you talk about the players on the roster, you talk about transfers that have been added. These are all people that have chosen to come to Kansas. That said, do recruits and parents of players ask what to expect of the infractions decisions? And is this something that they indicate that they are really concerned about?
I can tell you this right now. Those are private conversations that rarely get talked about to the media. I will tell you this. I believe it was Chris Johnson's dad, a week before he committed, told me that we are not worried one bit about that. And you can go look at the story.
Okay. Hey,
I'm going to plug myself to old Curb Dog. There's only one guy that got a post-visit article out on Chris Johnson. It was Jayhawk Slant. And
there
his
you
dad
go.
Made abundantly clear that's not even a concern. And speak like, listen, let's decide on that, okay? How much longer?
Exactly.
I mean, really.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. So final question here. And this is, I think this is a great one with the changes we have seen, you know, seismic changes in college basketball, in college athletics in the last 12 months. This one's perfect. Are NIL payments a strong deciding factor in where a recruit attends school, at least with the kids that KU is looking at right now?
No, not, I haven't heard it. Honestly, Randy, and I could be completely wrong. And if I am, then I'm wrong. I haven't heard one thing. I mean, obviously Grady Dick's got a deal and they got stuff going on, but I don't like, listen, the kid that left K-State for Miami, was it Nigel Pack? He got like buku bucks. I mean, I just don't see, I think at a program like Kansas, I think the program itself sells it. And then you, whatever you, I mean, it, like Kirby posted something the other day on the football board about SMU, those guys getting $36,000.
Yeah, that's their boulevard program, as they call it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, let me see some of that scratch. I don't think, I think that the kids that are at Kansas and that come to Kansas, I don't know how to say this, or not necessarily taking care.
I think I know what you mean to say.
Yeah, they do their
kids that are coming to Kansas are coming because of Kansas.
Yeah,
anything else is gravy.
Yeah, then everything else is gravy. But yeah, I think somebody on the board posted, and I'll have to check that. Maybe Grady's driving in a new Bronco. I know last year, and this wasn't publicized, that Oach had like an Audi. So yeah, I just think that at a school like Kansas, I don't think it has to be. I don't think you have to put the spotlight on that. I just don't think. I think that deals happen and things get worked out. And that, I mean, that's, listen, dude. Allen Fieldhouse, 16,300. McCarthy Hall.
It sells itself.
Yes, yeah. I'm national championships, Big 12 championships, Bahamas, Hawaii, Duke playing Duke. I mean, yeah. I mean, I just don't.
NBA draft picks.
Yeah, and I think the great thing about, they don't have to, I'm not gonna say pimp themselves out. Like, I remember last year Kentucky's guys got like Ferraris, and the kid from Texas, the running back, got a Lamborghini, and like if deals like that are happening at Kansas, it's not being publicized. And I think that's great. I think that's the way it should be.
That's the final word from our man Shea Wildebor. Shea, I appreciate you letting me push you around and run through this list of questions and keeping you going. You did a great job. Look forward to talking to you.
None of this is guaranteed. This is just guys talking.
It's a podcast.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a podcast, man. No need to say anything else. Shea, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, guys, have a good night.
Kirby, it is time to talk Kansas football. Season's getting closer. Like you said, you can tell by the talk in the cul-de-sac that football season is here. You can feel it. And you know, I threw it out on, some people saw it, I threw it out on Twitter on Monday morning, how fired up I was to have practice start in the state of Missouri. Like we said, Kansas starts next Monday. The Jayhawks have been in camp for a week now. I mean, it's just, it's finally here, man.
It is, Randy. It's like we were talking about. There's no better feeling for me covering Kansas football for 23 years. Phil Steele, when he comes on here, he asked me again. He said, "Now, John, how long have you been covering the Kansas program?" And I said, "I think this is going to be my 23rd year." And he goes, "Oh, God bless you." I mean, he was just like, man, hilarious. You've been through some tough stuff covering that team.
I just want to reiterate, you know, you said 23 years. I was excited that I've been covering high school football for the same outlet in Kansas City. This will be my 10th year. You've more than doubled that. I mean, that's, yeah, to say you've seen some things is putting it lightly, John. All right, so speaking of Phil Steele, let's just jump right into it. I'm going to turn it over to the studio line, where Kirby is going to welcome in our guest, the absolute best in the business, Mr. Phil Steele.
Our guest on this edition is a man who needs no introduction to college football fans. His college football preview is out for 2022. And I'll tell you, if you're a serious college football fan and you really want the stuff, you got to get his online deal that gets updated every week with the best information. I'm going to welcome in Phil Steele. Phil, how you doing, man?
Real good, Jay. John, how about yourself today?
Well, you know, flew up to Lawrence, did a little football interview, heading back, and then bringing you on, because I know the fans always love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I think Kansas fans will like a little bit more of what I have to say now than maybe over the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, I know you and I talked a little bit about that off air. The last 10 years have been kind of rough, so hopefully you start to see the change around. And hey, listen, I know at this time of the year, man, you are swamped and busy, so I appreciate you joining us. I just want to ask you, year two of Lance Leipold, the era is underway. Just give me the thoughts on Coach Leipold and what you think he's doing with the program.
Well, I love the job that Coach Leipold did at Buffalo. I mean, he took over a team that, I thought needed a lot of work and got them to the point where they were almost dominant in the MAC, building them strong at the line of scrimmage, building a run game, a team that played good run game and had the defense and, of course, the special teams. And you go back and look at it, you know, he had a couple losing seasons to start, but after that, just dominant. And his final year when they went 6-1, they were controlling things. And I think he took over under tough circumstances. I mean, he came in his first year, and it was basically after spring practice was over, brought in a new staff with him, had to learn the player's strengths and weaknesses on the fly, and it didn't start out well. I mean, as you would expect, Kansas probably was only favored in one game in the first nine and went 1-8, but then there came that upset of Texas, and I thought that was huge. The insertion of Jalen Daniels at the quarterback position I thought was huge, and then could very nearly have knocked off both TCU and West Virginia the next 2 weeks. I thought they played extremely well in those, almost won their last three games last year. Now he's got a full year under his belt. He's got 17 returning starters coming back. Jalen Daniels is one of them, which is a nice piece to build on. Devin Neal at running back, a nice piece to build on. And defensively, I like some of the talent over there, like Lonnie Phelps up front on the defensive line. Kenny Logan, getting him back, that was one of his best recruiting things he could do. This guy's got NFL potential. Almost surprised he didn't go to the NFL or a different team, and he's back along with Marvin Grant at safety. I like the talent on this team. Now, you know, let's face it, Kansas is going to have a tough time getting to a bowl game this year, but I think they're a team that's definitely going to have an improved record and pull an upset or two during the course of the season, much like they did last year.
You know, Phil, when you look down the schedule or you look down the roster and you try to play things out, I mean, what are some of the areas of concern that you have?
Well, I think the area of concern, I think, is just the overall defense and the fact that last year they gave up 42 points per game. So you're not going to become a top-flight defense overnight. Now, my computer, in the front of the magazine, I project the yards and points for each team each year. It's calling for a touchdown improvement on the defensive side, down to 35 points per game. Still not a great defense, but that would probably be my biggest concern. I've got their defense overall rated number 106. I think offensively, I'm happy with Daniels, happy with Neal. It's a veteran offensive line, and it's a pretty good receiving core as well. So I think the concern for me would probably be the defense overall.
You know, I love your position groups. I heard you on a show the other day, and you were breaking down where some of the guys ranked nationally. Do you have any of the position groups ranked in a decent area for Kansas?
I've got one of them in my top units in the front of the magazine, and that's probably one more than they've had the last 10 years. it's the running back core. You know, Devin Neal, then you add in a guy like Kai Thomas from Minnesota, Savion Morris from Nebraska. You got to like that running back core overall. Offensive line nearly made it because I think that there's potential there. And then, you know, I'd like to see a full season of Jalen Daniels before I put him in as one of the top QBs in the country. But those the three games he started were pretty exciting.
All right, so when you look at the 2022 season, you kind of look down their schedule. Just kind of give me your take on what can these guys do this year, and are there any games on there that you've circled for them?
Yeah, well, definitely two games you expect them to win, Tennessee Tech at home and Duke at home. You got to put those down as wins. So then, as mentioned, you wonder about some of the other possibilities. I think TCU at home, October 8th, is a nice game with a shot at it. It'd be TCU making the trip there. They've got a first-year head coach. They're learning new schemes on both sides of the ball. I think Kansas would have a shot at pulling the upset there. The Iowa State game. You know, Iowa State's a team that always plays better as an underdog than they do as a favorite. And I know if you look at the last couple years when these two have played, it's been all Iowa State, big margins. But Iowa State may be in a little bit of a tough spot for them in that particular game. They're coming off a game where they just played Baylor at home. They've got Kansas State on deck at home. Those are two pretty big Big 12 games. And as we saw last year, they didn't do as well as a favorite as they do as an underdog. So I actually give Kansas a shot at that one. You look at the early games, West Virginia and Houston. You know, West Virginia is breaking in a new quarterback. Houston, there's a games Kansas will be an underdog in, but I didn't expect Kansas to knock off Texas as a 31-point dog either. And then late in the year, maybe the Texas Tech game on the road would probably be their best chances of pulling out some more wins.
Last year, Phil, when you came on with this, you kind of just, you know, I gave you the floor and you just kind of talked about the Big 12. Just what do you think about the league? I was hoping you could do that again. Just tell the listeners out there, how do you see the conference?
Yeah, let's do it, John. You know, and I think the Big 12 this year was one of the tougher conferences for me to forecast because, you know, like I've told you off the air, and I've said it numerous times, Kansas is a team you just automatically pick 10th at the end of the year. And now this year, there was a little hesitation in that. I think they pulled the upset of Texas. I think they do pull an upset or two in the Big 12. In fact, I think the bottom five teams in the Big 12, and those are ones I'll go over with you first, all are capable of upsetting any of the top teams on any day. I've got Kansas rated 10th. At the ninth spot, I've got Texas Tech. And, you know, going over the team with Coach Joey McGuire, you sort of want to run through a brick wall afterwards. This guy's pretty enthusiastic, and he's got some talent on hand. Tyler Shuck at QB, Brooks and Thompson, one of the more underrated running back corps in the country. And I think Texas Tech probably pulls a couple upsets. West Virginia, you know, last year I thought their big deficit was probably the quarterback position. Jarrett Dagey didn't overwhelm me, but now they bring in JT Daniels, who is a starting quarterback at Georgia. I think that that's an upgrade there. They've got a top-notch defensive line. In fact, I've got their offensive line rated number 37, their defensive line number 27. And if you're strong at the line of scrimmage, you can win a lot of games. I think West Virginia pulls some upsets. TCU, you know, the conversation with Coach Sonny Dykes, it seemed like at the end of every position, he said, I'm surprised at the amount of talent we inherited here. He's very happy with what he's brought in. Or what he's inherited, plus what he brought in. You know, he did a great job with the transfer portal when he was at SMU. I think that TCU's a dangerous team. And then Iowa State, they're back to where you want Matt Campbell to be. Nobody's expecting anything from Iowa State this year. That's when they're dangerous. And here's something I'll throw at you about Iowa State. I think Hunter Deckers, the redshirt freshman quarterback, has a bigger year than Brock Purdy had last year.
Wow.
So I think that they're fine at quarterback. They've got Will McDonald on the defensive end. He was a first-team All-American last year. They've got an outstanding offensive line led by Trevor Downing. So Iowa State's going to pull some upsets as well. And, you know, all five of those teams are solid. And then getting to the upper half of it, you know, Kansas State probably leads the conference in skill or in star players. Adrian Martinez, a quarterback. Deuce Vaughn at running back. Receivers like Phillip Brooks and Malik Knowles. Defensively, Felix Anudike Uzoma, or however you pronounce that, is pretty solid at defensive end. Eli Huggins at nose guard, Julius Brents at cornerback. A lot of star power to Kansas State this year. They just have a tough schedule. They got to play Oklahoma, Iowa State, TCU, Baylor, West Virginia, all on the road this year. Texas, the thing that's interesting about them is three of my nine sets of power ratings actually call them the best team in the conference, much like the FPI ratings for ESPN call them the best. Now, I'm hesitant because Texas disappoints each and every year, but the talent's there. And if Quinn Ewers at the starting quarterback spot lives up to his potential, they got the best set of running backs in the country with Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson, Keelan Robinson. And if that defense can come true to form, Texas is a clear-cut threat. And like I said, three of my nine sets of power ratings call them the best in the Big 12. Then you look at Oklahoma State. You know, they've got their quarterback back in Spencer Sanders. They've got pretty dangerous receivers. And defensively, they got my number three rated defensive line in the country, and they're solid on special teams. The question marks with them, I don't think their defense will be as good because they lose a couple of draft picks from the linebacker position. Also, the offensive line is a major question mark for me. So I think they take a little step back, but they were 12-2 last year. Came away with one play of winning the Big 12. They'll still be a danger. Baylor, Dave Aranda is back, and I think he's one of the better head coaches out there. He did a fantastic job. You don't want to go against his defense, and you don't want to go against his defense this year with my number four rated defensive line. They're also strong at the line of scrimmage with my number seven rated offensive line. Blake Shapen gives them more of a passing game at the quarterback spot. I don't think they can reach the heights they did last year at 12-2, but I didn't think they'd get to 12-2 last year. Dave Aranda does a great job. And then my pick to win the Big 12, and it goes a little bit, John, to what I've said in a couple of places. Last year, It seemed like every coach I talked to 120 to 131 head coaches this year. And last year when I talked to the coaches, it seemed like 90% of them said, Phil, this is the deepest team we have ever had. We were able to go three deep in the spring. And it's because everybody had everybody back last year. Well, the exception was your powerhouses. You look at Clemson. They didn't even make the ACC title game. Ohio State didn't even make the Big Ten title game. Oklahoma didn't even make the Big 12 title game. Heck, Alabama lost to Texas A&M. Needed a two-point conversion stop to get past Florida. Nearly lost to LSU. Should have lost to Auburn. That's a game that they needed a late touchdown and four overtimes to win. So the powers weren't the powers last year because they lost folks to the NFL while everybody else was extremely experienced. This year, I feel the powers get back on equal footing. And look at Oklahoma. They have 10 returning starters, but Baylor, which had practically everybody back last year, has 12. Oklahoma State, which had their entire defense back, only has four starters back on D. So they're on even footing, and they lost their two games last year, Oklahoma State and Baylor, both on the road. This year, they get them both at home. I've got Oklahoma favored in all 12 games, and I really like their quarterback situation. Despite the fact they lose two guys who are Heisman contenders, they bring in Dillon Gabriel. And Dillon Gabriel at UCF in 2019 had a heck of a year. UCF had one of the most potent offenses in the country, and his offensive coordinator was Jeff Lebby. His offensive coordinator here, Jeff Lebby. So I think he knows the system. He's a dynamic quarterback, has a good offensive line, and Venables knows defense. So Oklahoma is my pick to win the Big 12, but I think we'll see some upsets this year.
Wow, that's amazing. Hey, there is nobody, there is nobody, folks, out there that breaks it down better than Phil Steele. And I really appreciate you joining us. I know all the Kansas fans always love to hear what you have to say. And, you know, thanks for stopping in and giving us your insight, Phil.
Yeah, and John, I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to watching Kansas football in the future years because Coach Leipold's going to get this thing turned around. So always great talking Jayhawk football with you, though, John.
All right, Phil, thank you very much.
Kerb, I know you've always been big on Phil, and he's always a great guest, but man, that was awesome.
Yeah, he's great. He's there are very few guys, Randy, I have ever seen in my time of covering this, and I've talked to national guys, regional guys. Phil Steele can go through every team and every conference and do that same stuff that you just heard. So he's always been impressive. And as long as I do this, I'm always going to try to get him on the show before the football season.
You know, it's one of those things. I'm sure everybody listens to it. They're like, oh yeah, he's got to have notes and from, I mean, I'm sure he does, but to have the kind of recall that he does to still be able to put it, you know, have all that information, be able to pull it up quickly, to be able to talk about it and just roll right off the hip the way that he does. He's one of one. There's nobody else that does it like Phil Steele does. All right, so we've talked to Phil Steele. Like we said earlier, this is a different kind of podcast. We have a shockingly long list of questions that people started posting in the thread in the Memorial Stadium Slant Suite. You had to go in and lock it at one point and be like, hey, we're not going to be able to get to it all if you guys just keep going. So before we get into that, though, because that's going to take a while, I do want to get an update from you. Tell us what's happening with recruiting right now and just what this staff is doing on the trail, because they are really, really starting to net some nice results.
Yeah, Randy, they have, you know, the month of July was dead. It opened up for, I don't know, 5 days there where kids could take unofficial visits, but this is a big week, okay? And you've got, on Thursday, Cason Wiseman, a quarterback from Georgia. This has kind of been the guy that the Kansas staff has zeroed in on.
Yes,
He was at the Friday Night Light camp. I had a chance to watch him. I watched him throw for about a little over an hour. Very talented, moves well. I think this is the guy Zabrowski's wanted. And, you know, I know people have kind of come and said, you know, why is this dragging on? Okay, why is this taking so long? You know, Randy, the quarterback spot's different. I tell people this all the time. There is no other recruiting for a position like quarterback compared to anything else. So, you know, when I talked to Cason when he was coming in for the Friday Night Light camp, he basically made it sound like, I'm coming in to interview the Kansas coaches. They're interviewing me, and we're just kind of seeing if everything mixes together and it's going to be a good match. So, you know, the quarterback thing, it takes time. So I'm feeling good about Kansas. I really do. We're going to see what he says on Thursday evening. But hey, this is the guy they want, and I'm feeling pretty good about it.
That's really exciting to hear. This, you know, like you said, this is a guy that they've targeted since the beginning of the process. This is this staff's pick at quarterback. It certainly looks like Kansas put themselves in great position. It'll be exciting to see how this one turns out.
Yeah, and then there's one more, and he just announced today that he's going to make his decision on Friday. And, man, this has been one of the more strange recruiting pictures that I can figure out here. But Jara Anderson, but he does not go by Jara. He's the Bear.
The Bear.
Okay, the Bear. and I think I called him Jara one time, the very first time I talked to him, and from then on it's been the Bear. I mean, this thing's been tough to follow. I've kind of posted on the board some information that I'm very certain went down. I think Kansas was the call. You know, I believe he took a kind of a quiet visit to Louisiana. They've come in and offered. So the calls I made just before the podcast here, I think there's a lot of people trying to wonder and figure out, you know, what's going to go on here. What, you know, what's happening? I would have told you, well, I put a forecast in for him. I was 100% certain if he would have committed in July, it was Kansas for sure. Okay, so we'll see what that brings. But that is two big ones this week. If they can go 2 for 2 on this one, okay, if they go 2 for 2 this week, the Kansas high school football recruiting is looking really good. If they still go 1 for 2, if they can get Wiseman, okay, Bear, it would be like icing on the cake because they are really bringing in some good defensive linemen. So we'll just see what these next 3 days bring.
All right, so we've got ton of Kansas football talk that we have just really started with. And this next segment, like I mentioned, we're going to get to as many subscriber questions as we can. Kirby, like I did with Shay, I'm going to push you. We're going to go fast with this. I don't want you lagging. I just counted it up. I've got 4 pages in a Word document of questions.
I might have to take a 20-second time out here.
Man, no kidding. You sent me the document with everything in it. I kind of adjusted the spacing so it fits on my monitor and I was sitting here counting it. I was like, while you were talking about Case and Wiseman, I was like, that's 4 pages of questions. So if we have to skip over some for the sake of time, don't take it personally. All right, sir. John, you ready to go?
I'm ready. I guess I may have to pause and think of some of these answers, but I'm ready.
I hope you got a drink next to you because you may need it by the end of this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so starting off from Hawkish 2018, top 3 kick returners right now.
Kenny Logan, because okay, when I interviewed him last week, I looked him point blank in the face and I said, "Tell me, are you returning kicks?" And he looked at me. He looked at me. He goes, "You know it." So
there we go.
Kenny Logan, Trevor Wilson, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw Devin Neal back there because they've always liked Neal as a return guy.
Yes,
and there's some depth at running back. Okay,
uh-huh.
So, you know, you always worry about him getting hurt or, you know, hurting your guy that's in a spot like that. So those are my 3.
All right, Any Crimson asks, KU defense gave up 6 yards per rush last season, last in the Big 12. What's your prediction per attempt at season end? They want Any wants a specific number here, John.
Oh man, I don't know if I can give you a specific number. What'd you say? It was 6.1 yards.
It was 6.1. Do you think they can cut that by a yard or two?
Well, let's put it this way: they better. So I'm going to say, listen, they're going to be improved. Okay, they've got more depth on the D line. They've mm-hmm. got quality there. Guys right now are healthy. You've got linebackers. The linebacker group has been greatly improved. You got depth at linebacker. So your front 7 is going to be entirely different than it was last year. So yes, that 6.1 had better improve fast.
Rock Chalk asks, what will the new special teams coaching structure, what kind of impact can we expect? Will there be an impact on the results and why?
Yeah, so he's talking about, you know, Taiwo Onatolu is the special teams coordinator. But what they're going to do is they're going to break responsibilities up. Now, keep mm-hmm. in mind, that's what Lance did at Buffalo, okay? And also, remember that this has been done at KU for a long time, right? There's always a guy with a special teams coordinator name, but it is really hard for one guy to just coach special teams. This happens with a lot of teams. So, you know, I just don't know if it's going to have that big of an impact because mm-hmm. guys are just going to have specific duties, you know, doing different parts, whether it's kickoff or punt return or extra point kick team. I mean, everybody's going to have their hand in it. So I don't really see it being a big deal.
Okay, so KUAIC, he's got three questions, so we're going to go even faster. Number one, which freshman, true freshman or redshirt, is most likely to see the field?
DJ Withers. Mm-hmm. Hold on, DJ's a redshirt freshman, isn't he? Yeah, he's a redshirt freshman.
He's DJ got a good
Withers,
name.
Tommy Dunn, mm-hmm. And Tanaka Scott. Those are my three.
Okay, going with the wide receiver on the last one. I like that. Number two, is Cornell Wheeler in the two deep? Or is he, and in addition, is besides being on the two deep, is he playing special teams?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I have not heard his name. That doesn't mean anything because it is still early in fall camp. We haven't even had a scrimmage yet, but I have not heard his name. So I got to be honest there.
Okay. Number three, with wide receiver being a major question mark and the tight end room being crowded, is there any talk of splitting a tight end out wide? It's an interesting question. Presumably Huggins or Trevor Cardell to better utilize the talent there.
Yeah, you know, Randy, everything's on the board. And I say this with running backs and tight ends, okay? Everything's on the board because Kotelnicki's already said he looks at this like the pieces of a puzzle and he's going to change that puzzle around. And then Lance even talked about it the other day. So I look at that. Everything, you're going to see all kinds of different multiple formations. You're going to see different personnel groups. So I think everything's a possibility with the tight ends and running backs this year.
I think also added to that, you talk about the versatility of an athlete like Jason Bean. We're going to see him in the backfield and then motion out, and they're going to be in a single wing set and run the ball out of that. I guarantee that happens this year. Next question from Jeshua Van, I guess I'm going to say it was. What do you think the floor and ceiling are for this squad for wins this year?
You know what? I'm not going to talk about the floor. I've been talking about the floor for KU football for 17 years.
A long
years.
Time.
You know what? I'm going to talk about the ceiling. I think if everything goes right, listen, you just heard Phil Steele say that, you know, he thinks Kansas is going to steal a win here and there. And you know.
I know he likes the over.
Well, I thought it was interesting that he felt really comfortable about the game against Duke. So I'm going to tell you what my number is. My number on the ceiling is 5, okay? And that is some things going right, that is staying healthy, and the ball bouncing the right way. And when I say that, I'm talking about West Virginia and TCU from last year. The ball bounces the right way. KU wins those games, okay? So I'll just stop it at 5.
Okay. All right. So Red Hawk asks, how many high school offensive linemen do we take in this class? That's an interesting question right now.
Yeah. Randy, in a perfect world, I'm going to say 3. All right. But the portal is going to be a factor. Okay. You've got Mike Nowitzki. You don't know what's going to happen there. I've heard little things out there that if he has a good year, he could leave for the NFL. Mm-hmm. You lose Earl Bostic. Okay. You've got guys behind him. But behind those guys right now that are still developing, and there's no real answers out there yet. So I could see 3 high school offensive linemen, but they are going to have to go to the portal, in my opinion, at the end of this year to try to get some guys who are more physically developed, maybe been through a Division I program, who are ready to step in and give you some snaps.
Vig Hawk with the question we were sure he was going to ask. He wants to know about the helmets and uniforms.
Oh, yeah. He always brings this up.
Just, you know what? Vic Hawk's going to talk about the uniforms. Bill Rowe is going to ask about the stadium. So,
hey, I'll tell you this on the helmets and unis. I'm hearing no major changes this year. So we'll see if my prediction's right.
Okay. Cat to Jayhawk asks, when is the stadium plan going to officially be announced? When Goff said this year, what did he mean, the calendar year or the academic year?
That's a good question. I figured somebody'd be asking a stadium question. Here's what I'm going to tell you on this one. Just be patient because good things will come. That's all I'll say.
Okay. I it's cryptic, but I'll take that. I will absolutely take that.
How about this one? I'll come back and add this. Maybe sooner than later.
Okay. Now, sir, you have my attention. I do like that. All right. So Matt 13 Jayhawk asks, has anyone outside the starters on the offensive line, the top 5 that we've talked about repeatedly, anybody outside that first group that it's impressed so far?
Yeah, I'm starting to hear some pretty good things about Dre Doran, who came from Buffalo, mm-hmm. who started at right tackle, could play some center, and then Dominic Pooney, who came from Central Missouri State, and you know, I hear he's done some good things early on in fall camp. I do preface this, and I've said this earlier, Randy, they haven't had a full scrimmage yet. So I know we're in that point where everybody wants information. I want information, okay? But at some point, people say, hey, man, we've banged head a little bit, you know, in practice, but we haven't really got into those couple scrimmages where you start seeing what guys can do. But those are two names for sure.
Is the first scrimmage then, is it the Saturday, like, typically?
No, I think it may be, there may be something tomorrow, but I've got to check on that.
Okay. Hawkish 2018 asks, where has the team as a whole embodied more toughness from a year ago? That's an interesting one. Mental toughness or physical toughness? Can you teach mental toughness? And how do you get that out of players? This is a deeply philosophical question here, John.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And mental toughness, and this is what I've said, I think mental toughness sometimes is built in the off season with like Gildersleeve. I know under Mangino it was that way with Dawson, the demands they put you through and everything. And the biggest thing that I think about mental toughness, he asked if it can be taught. I think it can be learned. Okay.
True. And I would agree with that.
Go back and look at Mangino. Remember what he took over. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then he started bringing in the Charles Gordons and the Floodmans and the Canes and the Reeds.
I mean, and Gabe Toomeys.
Gabe Toomeys. Those kids were tough. I mean, mm-hmm. he bought in some kids. I remember Bob Whitaker playing on two bad knees and
held together with baling wire and chewing gum.
That's right. He could barely walk off the field. So I think that when you talk about mental toughness, mm-hmm. a lot of people say, yeah, that comes when you start winning. I don't buy that. I think that mental toughness can come and grow within a group of guys. And honestly, I think we'll start seeing that with Lance's group right now. I think we'll start seeing more mental toughness.
I agree. I think it's part of establishing a culture, and that's why it was so important for them to have a few guys that came with them from Buffalo, because I think that's where you may start to see the biggest change in this team the soonest, as opposed to outside the wins and loss column. Okay, so we knew it was coming. Tarmac Guy has asked. He said, I would love for you and Randy to talk about your top 3 to 5 days in Slant history. Would prefer you both to have his airport day in number one.
Oh, Tarmac Guy. You got to love Tarmac. You got to love Tarmac Guy. Hey, I will give him this. We'll go ahead and give him number one. We will put him number one. We'll get the trophy made. He'll get the belt.
He gets the strap for that. Absolutely.
So, hey, you know, no, his, that was hilarious. You know, Randy, one of the days, I don't know if it was the biggest day, but it might be the biggest 2 or 3 days, and I know people will just be floored by this, was the Dane Crist, Jake Heaps announcement.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't thought about that in a long time. You're not wrong there.
Oh, when those two guys announced within like 48 hours of each other,
yep,
are the numbers and traffic on our website, subscriptions, were like at an all-time three-day high, right? Mm-hmm. I've heard from people in the ticket office at KU back when that happened. They sold more season tickets in that week when that happened than any other time ever. So, oh, wow. I mean, I know people won't, I don't know if they'll remember the magnitude of that. And some people will think, oh, well, those guys didn't turn out to be what, it doesn't matter. And in the present time, that was huge. I'm going to tell you another day on the Slant that I will remember, and it was just one of those days you remember because the Kansas-Missouri rival was so big back then. Mm-hmm. When KU got the nod to the BCS Orange Bowl,
yep,
over Missouri, and I remember everybody, Missouri fans were actually on our board saying, hey, Lou Perkins bought the Orange Bowl. He promised, he promised like 25,000 tickets will be sold, and whatever's not going to be sold, Kansas will buy. It didn't matter. Kansas got to the Orange Bowl. Missouri didn't. And I'm telling you what, man, that for about 24 to 48 hours, the excitement and the talk around that was huge.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. So GC Jayhawk 10, who I'm going to assume it's Garden City Jayhawk 10. He says, few questions. Number one, most annoying poster on the Slant.
Mascara Snake. No, no, listen. Hey, you know what? I like Mascara Snake. Let me tell you why. I really do think he knows his football. He follows it. And I know he's a K-State guy, and I know everybody gets on him. But I do like the guy for being a K-State guy.
Okay. What are some things you're hearing recruits or players mention that seem different regarding this coaching staff versus previous regimes? That's a good question.
Yeah, it is. You know, Randy, I don't know if the answer to that question is actually the coaching staff. I think the answer to the question that I would say is when the recruits come on the visits, I think they hear about the changing culture from the current players.
Okay? Yes.
And I've always said that coaches can recruit and they're a vital part in it. But experiencing what the current players are also telling you on your official visit is a big deal. And that's one of the things that a lot of the recruits come back and tell me is they were just impressed about how cohesive the current players are and how much they believe in what's going on. So I think that's a big, big one right there.
No question. Okay, so here's one. Funniest conversation you have had with a recruit. I really want to hear this.
Oh, man. God, there's been so many of them. I don't know if I have a specific one. I'll tell you one that comes to mind. And this is a kid KU didn't get, but I thought they were going to get him. 4-star recruit named William Cole.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Cedar Hill, okay? And I thought after the visit, so I talked to him at the airport. And I seriously thought he was close to committing. Was that Beatty or Tim Beck? I think that was Tim Beck. Tim Beck had really done a great job recruiting him. And I'll tell you what happened. They went out on the tarmac. Not tarmac guy.
I was going to say tarmac again.
the tarmac at the airport. And they were about ready to take off. And the runways iced. And they sat there for 4 hours. And I remember William Cole calling me just to talk. He picked the phone up and called me, and he goes, "Hey, Mr. Kirby." He goes, "Hey, William Cole." I go, "Hey, William." I seriously thought for a second he was calling to tell me that he committed.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, "Man, we're stuck on this runway." You could tell he was really frustrated. And I still say to this day that hurt KU because that he left that visit with such a positive vibe, and when he got stuck on that runway and couldn't get out, he was mad, and I think it ended up turning his visit to a little bit of a negative tone.
Wow. Okay. All right, now here's one. How does the pay structure work for rivals? Do you and Shea owe the rights to Jayhawk Slant? I don't even know if I know the answer to these questions.
Well, the pay structure is, you know, we split a subscription with Yahoo because mm-hmm. Yahoo backs things up with the database and all the infrastructure and all the credit card processing and all that kind of thing. We just produce a content, which is great, and I don't want to mess with that other stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's about a 50-50 split, and the rights to Jayhawk Slant, I own the rights to that name and always will. So there you go.
Okay. Cat Sandwich asks, what game stands as the biggest possibility for an upset win this season, or maybe the order of ascending from least likely to most likely?
Well, I will say, Randy, I think there's a chance against Houston, okay?
I agree with you there.
Yeah, there's a chance against Houston. I was watching this summer a little bit of Houston, Texas Tech from last year, and Houston, don't get me wrong, they're good, but you can hang with them. Duke, you know, again, I don't know if you listen to Phil Steele. I don't know if KU beating Duke will be considered an upset. I guess we'll have to see what the odds makers in Vegas say when those two teams play. So those two teams right there would be the ones that I would feel best about, obviously, Tennessee Tech.
Bleed Blue Red asks, he mentioned that Houston game. He wants a breakdown of it for us. You ready to do that yet?
Sure. The reason I am is because I just had some exchange with our Houston publisher and just was reading a little bit about Houston. If you'd asked me this question a week ago, I may not have. But, hey, listen, it's the game against Clayton Tune, right? I mean, the kid is starting at quarterback, and he committed to Kansas not once but twice.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he decommitted twice. They're okay on offense. I think Kansas could slow them down. Houston's really good on defense. They did lose a little bit of personnel, but that's where their strength is. You know, this is coming after the West Virginia game. So, boy, I tell you, you get Tennessee Tech, and you got to go on the road to West Virginia, and you got to go on the road to Houston. And the other thing about this game is 3 p.m. on the road in Houston, you have no idea what you're going to get with the weather. I mean, golly, it could be 95 degrees down there. And
that's what I was about to say. 98 humidity. Scalded just by the weather there. Mm. All right, moving on. Joe Lebo, several questions from one of our most talkative posters, shall we say.
I love Joe Lebo. I love him.
He's great. He is fantastic for keeping the conversation going or starting conversations. Now these are good questions. When and where was the last pregame tailgate you attended? Is there a tailgate food that, if offered, you have a very hard time saying no to consuming? Basically, I'm curious if the media press box food is good enough for you to bypass pregame tailgate food.
You know, the last tailgate I went to was the Slant tailgate in week one of last year.
Mm-hmm.
JT Tailgates made some, it was like, I don't know, it was like a street taco or something like that. And it was tremendous. And no, by the way, I would take JT Tailgates food over anything in the press. But well, hey, I don't want to knock the press box food because there are some good caterers, but JT Tailgates food is pretty good.
I will say this. I haven't hit a tailgate since before COVID, and it was the first one that JT Tailgates cooked for there on the hill. And I remember having burgers literally coming straight off the grill, and they were fantastic. He and Tarmac were very much, we'll just say they were in their element that day. But yeah, like you said, I'll put that tops everything that you're going to have up in the press box. And that's no offense to KU Athletics or anybody they work with, but JT's got that down to a science. Number two, how are some of the conversations with others in the media press box? Any hilarious ones you're able to share with us, even if they're over a decade old?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any specific conversations, but there's been some good times up there. You know, everybody gets along, mm-hmm. and boy, during some of those games, you get all kinds of stuff to talk about. You know, I miss old Tom Keegan sitting there up there talking with him, and,
yep.
You know, Jesse Newell won't be there this year, and I've had a lot of good football talks with him.
It's crazy to think that Jesse won't be at KU covering something. That yeah, is really, is. Really, that's the one that I have trouble getting my
it
head
is, but we all talk up there, you know, Swain over at 247's a good dude, and I've known Matt Tate for 20-some years. I mean, me and Matt talk all the time, and Zach Boyer, who's on the beat now, is a good guy. And, man, I'll tell you, Zach Boyer, I wouldn't trade spots with that guy right now. I looked at him today. I said, give me a sleep report. Because, you know, him and his wife just had a little one. And he looked at me today and goes, there was no sleep.
Yeah, what sleep are you talking about?
Yeah, Jordan Guskey from Topeka. Now, Jordan's a little crazy now. You got to watch Jordan. But, no, I like all those guys. And we have a good time in the press box. And, hey, I'll throw a little... something out to the KU Sports Info people, Burke, Daniel Burke, and Andy Eich. They do a great job and keep everything organized up there. So it's always a good time to hang out up there.
They are fantastic. One that I will add, and this goes way back, back when Gene Weir was a part of the staff and was working with Coach Weiss's team, I remember sitting in the press box on game day, and I've known Gene for a long, long time. And he comes walking through, saw me, sat down, and I watched the entire game with Gene Weir. And the names and the stories and the things that I heard about had nothing to do with players on the current roster. We were talking about high school kids and people at Olathe North and different guys that he had known over the years. And I don't think anything I will ever have in a press box will approach that conversation I had with Gene. Okay, so that's the second of Joe Lebo's questions. Here's the last one. Both of you haven't really spoken on a podcast. We haven't spoken a podcast word about the direction of the baseball program since the hiring of Dan Fitzgerald. Okay, this is all you. I don't know anything about this. Are you able to share any other information that has not already been shared in the pages-long baseball thread in Memorial Stadium Slay Suite?
No, Randy, it's just too early. I mean, he's coming into a hard program. I mean, he's coming into a program that's last in the Big 12, and I compare it sometimes taking over to KU football program, maybe even tougher because, you know, they lose some of their better players, right? So you're losing some of your better players off of a bad team, which That's never a good combination. Yeah. So, you know, the things I've heard, now I know quite a few people in the baseball community. So, you know, I've the things I've heard is they really want to try. I don't want to say win quick, because that's everybody's going to try to win quick. But I think they're going to try to bring in, you know, guys from the junior college ranks, transfer portal for this class and possibly next class. That could be a big focus to see if they can get some guys who are ready to play earlier. I know people who know Fitzgerald, and everything that I've heard is he is a great guy, a great coach. He understands the game of baseball. And the one thing I've heard from several people is he is a workaholic. Like people say, every time they were at a baseball tournament, you'd see the guy. And then they go to this city and he'd be there. Then they go to the next city for the next big tournament, and he was always there. And the people that I talked to were more talking about Dallas Baptist when he was there. So those are the things I've heard.
Okay. Now, Joe Lebo has a couple questions specifically for me. One about high school players in the Kansas City area that Kansas fans should keep their eye on. I'm just going to throw out one name, and I know he's a guy that's been mentioned on the board. Malik Otis at Shawnee Mission Northwest is a kid that athletically can play. I think he can play the wide receiver position. I think he'd be fabulous in the slot. He catches the ball well. He's dynamic as an athlete in regards to his change of direction, acceleration. I don't think he has the size necessarily to be a running back. I'm not sure if he's a D1 guy. I think he is a ton of fun to watch, and he's one of the best players in the Sunflower League, one of the best players in the state of Kansas. I think used in the right situations, I could see him be really effective as a slot receiver, maybe even the Big 12. I don't know necessarily if that's the kind of answer you're looking for, Joe Lebo, but he is a fun kid to watch and a heck of an athlete at my alma mater. Then you asked me, and this has been a great discussion for the last week, rate the Predator movies as I see fit. Do you feel like Predator Prey laid the foundation for future Predators, but in different centuries, or is that too much? And if yes, do you have a preferred century/historical time period that you want to see the Predator treatment? This is a very specific, very nerdy question, and I love everything about it. You're not going to top the first Predator movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura. It's simply, you're not going to beat that. Predator is first. Predator 2 was also, in my opinion, very good. It was an entertaining watch. It was the early 90s. You look back on it, I don't know if it really holds up that well. It was fun. I loved the scene in the Predator ship where you saw the trophies on the wall, one of which was a xenomorph skull, as well as that's obviously the first time that we saw the gun that we saw again in Predator Prey. I would put Predator Prey number 2. I would then put Predators number 3. I love Predators. I think it's a fantastic concept. I thought it was executed well. I love the storyline that you literally had the worst of the worst from Earth dropped onto a planet where the Yautza were there to hunt them down. And the fact that nobody really knew how it happened, or that, I think that just added to it. I loved everything about that one. We will not talk about other Predator movies because those are just the things that we do not speak of. I feel like Predator Prey laid the foundation for future Predators. Absolutely. I think we will see a sequel. There was actually a teaser in the credits that showed the Comanche tribe that was featured so prominently in this movie looking to the sky and seeing another Yautza ship coming down to Earth. So I do think we see them come back. And then obviously you've got to explain how the gun gets from that tribe to be handed to Louis Gossett Jr. when the Predator goes to LA in the early 90s. So yes, I think there will be more. Preferred century historical time period that you would like to see the Predator treatment. I think during, I would love to see a Predator storyline happen in Vietnam. I think that would be extraordinary. To see that against the context, the historical conflict, obviously going in that area, the U.S.'s involvement, you know, the war that never ended, and have a small edge of that, something happen with a Yautza coming in to hunt. I think that would be, I would absolutely love to see that. I would pay to see that movie right now. Moving on from Nerdy Stuff. Hawk Doctor wants to know, wide receiver too deep, John Kirby.
Wide receiver too deep, Luke Grimm, Lawrence Arnold, Trevor Wilson. The second group, Tanaka Scott. I've been hearing good things about him.
Yep.
Doug Amelian and Stephen McBride. There's my too deep.
I like that. Okay. Tougher one. Defensive line too deep.
Well, that's actually fairly easy because I don't know if I can give you a too deep defensive tackle because I think this thing is going to change by the day. I'll say Lonnie Phelps, Sam Burt, Eddie Wilson, Malcolm Lee to start with a bunch of guys challenging at defensive tackle. And that whoever starts week one on that deal, it could look totally different in week three or four.
I think that's the way you wanted that position personally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the backup DNs asking for a two deep, I'll say Hayden Hatcher and Jeremy Robinson.
Okay. Cat2Jayhawk asks, actually, no, wait a minute. Excuse me. I skipped one. Beyond that, Hawk Doctor had one more question. Don't give a name, but give what you think is the top NIL dollar figure for a player currently with or to be associated with KU football.
Well, I have no idea on that because there are so many things happening behind the scenes, NIL, Randy, that people don't know about. There are guys getting deals. There are guys getting cars. There's so much in the works that I think we're going to see a lot change here in the upcoming weeks. But to answer that question now, KU has done this, in my opinion, it's been very well handled. Okay, they are not out there beating their chest right now. But the kids know on the inside that many are getting taken care of, and they're probably going to know that they're all going to start getting taken more care of down the road.
Kirby, I have a page and a half of questions still to go. We got to pick it up. Okay, so we're really going to hit a rapid fire. Cat2Jayhawk asks, what two teams would you add to the Big 12 if you could? Doesn't have to be likely.
Well,
so in a dream scenario, who do you add?
Okay, so, I mean, let's be realistic here. Teams that they could possibly get. I'm not going to throw out Notre Dame, okay, somebody that's not going to come. I'm going to say Oregon and Washington. I know a lot of people say, what about Arizona State? Arizona and Arizona State don't add near the value that Oregon and Washington do. So of people who would be realistic, I'd say them.
Like it. Mayo asks, your prediction on the starting defensive ends, which I know you've already kind of hit that. So
Lonnie Phelps and Malcolm Lee.
Okay. Freshmen or red shirts that might see the field this season?
I kind of answered this one earlier, too.
Yeah, you did.
What I say, Tanaka Scott, Tommy Dunn, and DJ Withers.
Yep, there you go. Jayhawk in 91 asks, how are the long snappers doing? Is Joey Baker going to be a center? And are we recruiting any punters for this next recruiting cycle?
Whoa. Go back and start with question one. I lost you.
Okay, how are the long snappers doing?
Great, because I haven't heard a thing about him, so that's perfect.
Okay, is Joey Baker...
I mean, hey, listen, Randy, if you haven't heard a thing about the long snappers, that means they're doing well, right?
It's just like with offensive linemen. If they're not talked about, they're doing their job. So, yeah.
That's right.
I agree. Is Joey Baker going to be a center, though?
Boy, I don't know about that. I don't want to... I've heard some things, and let's just say I think he's moving around quite a bit.
Is he going to stay on offense?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that's good enough. Are we recruiting any punters for this next recruiting cycle?
Yeah, that I have no idea. I mean, we're talking that's a whole year away, and usually punters are walk-on guys, right? Most of the time, yes. You're not going to give a scholarship to a punter unless there's a guy you really like. And plus, I think you got to wait and see what Reese Vernon does. And Vernon's only a junior, I'm pretty certain. And not only is he a junior, I don't know if he gets a COVID year back. So Vernon could have two more years left in the program. I'd have to go look at his classification.
Oriad asks, what game day atmosphere addition outside of wins have you seen at other venues that you would like to see at the booth?
Winning.
Okay.
No, I mean, listen, it's a great question, but what I mean by winning is, Randy, remember what the tailgating scene and the atmosphere was like in 2007 and 2008?
Yep.
I mean, listen, people were setting up 3-4 hours early. There were days it was raining and people were out there just partying, having a good time because they were winning. And KU fans knew that when they went to the football field that day, their team had a chance to win almost every game they played. And when you do that, it makes tailgating a lot more fun.
Absolutely. GC Hawk asks, can you comment about Romello Dotson in particular, but also the staff's philosophy on tackling over speed?
Yeah, I think the philosophy on this is they will take tackling over speed, okay? And I think right now you got a three-way battle for the starting corner. I have heard Jacoby Bryant is starting to come on, starting to show some good things. You know, he's talented. I said when Jacoby Bryant came in, the things I was hearing about him, he was an SEC talent. Now, you know, has he played up to that? He's shown some signs. But, they will take tackling over speed.
Okay. Jayhawk and Zona says, Borland mentioned some changes to the defensive philosophy. Have you seen or heard what that might entail?
Yeah, there's two things. Number one, knowing the system. Knowing where, what they're asking of them. Because, you know, we all know Lance got in here last summer and it was a crash course and they had to speed through everything. And, you know, last year was like year zero. So, and the biggest philosophy change that I think you're going to see, and I talked to the guy specifically about this yesterday. You're going to see the defensive line attacking, okay? There is no more read and react. There is no more just try to stand up in your gap. I think it is go forward and make a play and try to do something.
Hawk Squad wants to know, when will we see a depth chart? Any idea on a date?
First Monday of the season.
Okay. O-line recruiting. Wide open. I don't know what he wants to know. Just wants to know about O-line recruiting.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's been a question mark. There's been a lot of stuff happen on the O-line, a lot of guys, a lot of targets there that have ended up not panning out. Mason Goldman, I'm watching from Nebraska. He's got the offer. I kind of think Kansas is in the lead there. And like I said earlier in the segment, we're going to have to see how O-line recruiting plays out and how many high school guys they go after and how often they go to the portal.
JVD Beacom says, which player that got a majority of the snaps last year do you project will be more buried down the depth chart this year besides Jason Bean?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you one guy that comes to mind defensively is Gavin Potter.
Yes.
You know, I think Potter probably played over 500 snaps last year. I mean, that's a lot. I don't know the answer to how many snaps, but I'm pretty certain it was over 500. And he is in a battle. I mean, there are some linebackers that can play. And, you know, you talk about a kid who's out there starting. Who knows? He could be third team. So there's one there on defense. Offensively, I don't even know how to answer that question on offense.
Okay, so we talked earlier about skill position and using formations to maximize some of that talent and get more guys out there. RX Bone says, with our RBs looking like our best position, will the Jayhawk/Wildcat formation be utilized? Do you think we'll see it in the first half, inside the 10?
Yeah, hey, like I said, Randy, I think everything's on the table offensively, okay? And one thing they do, which if I was Lance Leipold, I wouldn't want media there, but when they start getting into the nitty-gritty of practice, we have to leave, okay? Mm-hmm. So we don't get to see the specifics they're working on, which is what I do as a head coach too, because I wouldn't want people watching what I'm doing. I think, saying that everything's on the table, I think that you are going to see a lot more than what you saw last year.
Okay, Drew Porter says, and we've already kind of touched on this, winnable games from easiest to hardest. We've already talked about that. So Kay Jensen 112 said, what do you think a realistic ceiling would be for the team that we saw the last three games with Jalen?
You know, the ceiling's high. If they play like those three games, it's high. Okay. You know, one of the things I will say, and this is a little bit of a concern, is doing it over a 12-game season. Jalen looked great for three games, you know, but we've got to see what he can do over the course of an entire season. And can he keep up what he did at the end of last year and do it over a long period of time?
Another question from K Jensen 112. Who do you think the defensive starters will be by the time we get to the halfway point of the season? That's a tough one.
Oh yeah. I would have no idea. Now I'll tell you what, it's a good question because there is with the D line and the linebackers, there is a chance you could see all kind of different guys starting by mid season, as opposed to who started in week one.
Agree. So 300 miles to Goodland with a question, and this is what everybody wants to know. What about Connor Becker's expense report from Big 12 Media Day?
Let's just say Connor went on slant probation.
Abby wants to know, he would like to hear if young guys who've been on campus for a while are starting to show up. Specifically, he mentions Krishan, Cornell, Satterwhite, Huggins, etc.
Oh, yeah. So he's talking about Krishan Brown, Cornell Wheeler, Satterwhite. You know, I know they think Huggins has all the ability, you know.
He's just kind of been dinged up.
Yeah, yeah. Haven't heard much of Brown. Haven't heard much about Wheeler, you know, as a four-star guy. Haven't heard anything about Satterwhite. So I haven't heard about any of those names.
Team Ramrod, I'm surprised it's taken this long. He wants to know who would win in a rap battle between you and me.
Oh, geez. Withers would wipe the floor of me.
I absolutely agree. I am a spitter from day one. Jayhawk 112 with the final question. How is the punter and field goal kicking going?
Yeah, I heard it's been improved. I heard the coaches like what they saw in the spring. They thought guys showed that from improvement, and I feel that they think that the kicking game will be better going into this year.
Kirby, that's it. This has been an absolute...
That's it?
That, I don't know what else we could talk about. This has been an absolute marathon of questions, let alone it's going to be a heck of a podcast. There's just a lot to it. Any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up, man? Is there anything left in there that you haven't talked about?
After that, I just got to go sit on the couch.
With that, that is the final word from our man, John Kirby. For Shea Wildebor, I'm Randy Withers. This is the latest edition, the latest and greatest to this point, of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. I always say it, if you are not already a subscriber to Jayhawk Slant, there is no better time than fall camp. Football season is upon us. Get the best coverage of Kansas football and roll right into the best coverage anywhere of Kansas men's basketball with the access and information that you get from John Kirby and Shea Wildebor. Now is the time to subscribe. If you've got friends in Jayhawk Nation that aren't listening to the podcast, share this monster with them. Let them bask in the glory that is this endless Q&A segment and talk about things like Predator and me and Kirby having rap battles in addition to all the, you know, the KU stuff too. For Kirby, for Shea, I'm Randy Withers. This is the Jayhawk Slant. This is the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.